score. She's down to her final shot here. Can you believe it? The American Ninja Warrior podcast starts now.
You're listening to the American Ninja Warrior podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Lee, editor of ANWNation.com. Okay, so we just saw stage two of the national finals where, yeah, a lot of ninjas hit the buzzer, which is great, but it does mean we're looking at a stage three experience that we've never had before. Today's podcast guest is Daniel Gill, one of stage two's finishers, which means he's heading to stage three for the second time in his ninja career. Just a quick heads up that we did this recording a little differently. Daniel is a very busy, very dedicated ninja. He made time for this interview by pulling over in a parking lot between Ninja Warrior speaking engagements. At one point, we do switch from recording through his computer to using his phone, so you'll notice the change in the sound. What can I say? You gotta do what you gotta do when it comes to Ninja Warrior. Matt Eisman is up next to give some more background on Daniel Gill in today's chat.
Okay, American Ninja Warrior fans, you wanted to see more competitors on stage three. But did you ever imagine you'd see 21 ninjas defeat stage two? This just goes to show that we can make the course as hard as we want, but the ninjas will rise to the challenge. Today's guest on the American Ninja Warrior podcast is not a new face when it comes to stage three. Daniel Gill's had a pretty great season so far with two first place finishes in Oklahoma City, $10,000 on the Mega Wall, and two trips to the Power Tower. While Daniel has made it to the national finals on every season he's competed, his last visit to stage three was back in season eight. Now listen in as Daniel talks about how his season has unfolded so far and what it's like to have stages three and possibly four looming just ahead.
Welcome, Daniel. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Nikki. I'm excited to be with you today.
Now, you said you were in the midst of a road trip, so what are you up to right now?
I am, actually. My wife, Abby, and I, we're out in Maine, Charleston, Maine, for the first time. Did a camp out here, so they had like a Ninja Warrior-themed camp, so I got to be a special guest at that. Now we're driving, road tripping to New Jersey, so it's quite the drive.
So Ninja Warrior life never stops.
Correct. 24/7 for me.
Well, I want to start off today by catching up with you about how the season has gone for you so far on American Ninja Warrior. It's pretty safe to say the season has gone pretty darn well.
Yes, I would agree.
So taking it back to Oklahoma City, in the qualifiers, we saw you get the number one spot and get that speed pass. In the city finals, we got to see you go on the course with pretty much nothing to lose. What did that feel like?
Oh, it felt awesome. Honestly, it didn't feel much different because having the speed pass was still so new. I wasn't used to it. So going into the Oklahoma finals, I ran the course like normal, but tried to go a little bit faster, take maybe a few more risks than usual, and it paid off.
How did it feel to find out you were going to go to the Power Tower again, but against a kid, your protege?
Going on the Power Tower again felt awesome. I was excited to get on a different configuration. However, I was not too excited about going up against Kid. If there was one person that could etch me out, it'd be him. He's much taller than I am, has longer arms, longer legs, can jump further, and got a little bit more endurance on him. But when it comes to those short speed courses, gosh, it's a flip of a coin on who's going to win.
Did you have any strategy heading into that Power Tower, or are you just going to go as hard as you could?
I pretty much did my strategy, which was to go as quickly as possible. I got through the rings portion pretty easily and efficiently, if I might say, but I had the wrong strategy going into the last portion with the ladders. I thought that I could get through it pretty quickly and easily with straight arms and just kind of monkey swing through them, which I did. It went honestly exactly how I thought, but it did not occur to me that if I would have stayed bent arm like Kid did and just match, you could actually move quicker across a moving obstacle like that one than going straight arm like I did. So strategical error, and you live and learn.
Was it a little bit of a wrench in the plan to not get the safety pass? Were you kind of hoping you would have it for national finals?
I was definitely hoping I would have it, not because I necessarily thought I needed it, because I don't ever plan on getting wet, but I kind of just wanted it for bragging rights, get the trifecta and not let Drew be the only one this season with it.
So you did obviously make it to the national finals. Stage one, what are your memories from that?
Oh my gosh. Stage one was almost a train wreck, like three different times for me. I felt calm, cool, and collected when I stepped up to the starting line. But on the second obstacle, jumping to those wheels, I almost completely missed. And then that threw me for a loop. So then going through the rest of the course, I was still trying to just refocus. And then coming out of the jumping spider and then going across the tire run, I almost fell on the center tire that spins forward and backwards. So then getting through that, I was like, okay, just finish. Those were the only obstacles that you thought might trip you up. So now just get through it. And at that point, all the butterflies had made their way from my stomach into my throat. And I was just trying to get through it as quickly as possible.
I love that you can remember all of those moments where it could have gone wrong. And yet you still completed the course and came in third out of however many ninjas there were that night. It speaks a lot to your skill level.
Well, thank you. Goodness. I mean, yeah, I still remember it like it was yesterday.
Heading into stage two, we saw a revamped stage two this year. There were no wing nuts. Deja vu didn't come back. What were your thoughts when you first saw all those obstacles?
I wasn't too upset that the wing nuts were gone. I like the obstacle, but it's been several years, what, like 3 years that we've had them in stage two. So I was excited to see something new. I was upset a little bit at the fact that they took out Deja Vu, because I was looking forward to getting some redemption on it. I don't think I've ever fallen twice on the same obstacle, so I was looking forward to taking it down. But you know, I wasn't too upset when it wasn't there, because I liked what they put in its place, an obstacle that I had already touched before.
So this time you came in first. Were you going for speed on stage two, or is that just kind of how you operate?
That's just kind of how I operate. I liked all the obstacles on stage two. I had a plan going into it. I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and I just tried to do it as efficiently and as time conserving as possible. And so when I got to the last like three obstacles, I was like, okay, I believe I'm going to finish this. So let's push the pedal to the metal a little bit. And I did, and it worked out.
A lot of people made it to the buzzer on stage two. It was a pretty surprising course in that way, in the sense that we are just not used to seeing that many people standing at the end of stage two. Were you surprised?
I was definitely surprised. After last year's, what, like record low on stage two moving on, it was incredible to see, one, just the level of skill that the athletes have acquired. I mean, everybody's been training so hard in preparation for this season. And I think that, coupled with the fact that they took out some of the really, you know, devastating obstacles from last year, like the Deja Vu, I think it really showcased the ninjas and our strengths and our skill sets really well.
You've been to stage three before, but if I'm remembering correctly, it was back in season eight. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. My second season. On season eight, it was when it was just Drew and I. We were the only two to complete stage two and move on to three.
So how does it feel, or how did it feel facing stage three again, which is daunting enough in and of itself, knowing that there was 20 other ninjas who were going to try it with you?
It was both relieving to know that I wasn't alone or with just one other ninja, but at the same time, there was a sort of pressure, because they had changed stage three up quite a bit, and I wanted to see how I compared to these other guys and to see what my training, or how far my training will get me this time around facing stage three.
How do you recover between stage two going into stage three when there's such a short period of time and such a grueling task ahead of you?
You recover as quickly as possible. I mean, just from my own training, like I train in a way that tries to prepare me for the show. So I'll go really hard. I'll get like a huge pump, like can't hardly, you know, open my hands or anything. And then I'll just give myself a short, brief amount of time to rest and recover. And I'll try as many different things as possible just to get the lactic acid out of my forearms and biceps. So because I train that way, I feel like it helps me helps to better prepare me for the actual competition when we go to Vegas and we've got back to back to back stages.
Well, I can't wait to see how stage three turns out for you. You're such a natural on the course. What number season was season 11 for you?
This is my fifth season. Yeah, season 11 is my fifth season competing on the show.
You're one of these names that comes up all the time, and it feels like you've been here since the very beginning, but it's really just been this amazing like launch to stardom for you, and you've managed to maintain it the whole time. So that's pretty darn impressive. How did you get into Ninja, first of all?
Yeah, you're right. I haven't been in this game very long, but I feel like this is, gosh, I mean, part of the dream of my life and part of just the season of my life that I'm in. I mean, I grew up as an athlete. I grew up watching Ninja Warrior like on G4 MTV, and it was like the only show I could watch on that channel back when it was the original Japanese Sasuke. And I remember I used to just sit there and watch the show with my sisters and my brother and be like, I want to do that someday. I would love to do that someday. I'm a natural athlete. My dad was an athlete, and then I play almost every sport possible. But then somewhere along the lines, like, I don't know if it was because I came from a big family or because we were homeschooled or because, you know, there was no outlet for, you know, Ninja. I kind of just like gave up on that dream, gave up on pursuing that. But as we came out with American Ninja Warrior when I was in high school, I was like, okay, that's, I'd love to do that. I'd love that. And then finding out that there was a ninja gym in my city in Houston, Iron Sports, I quickly got connected, got a job there, and began training. And you know, after a couple of years of trying to get on the show, finally I was able to get in through the walk-on line season 7, and that's where my journey officially began at 21 years old. And it's been, gosh, the last 5 years have just been a roller coaster.
What is your background in athletics? You said you play a ton of sports. What were those sports?
Yeah. Okay. So in my family, I was unique because I was the monkey child. I climbed on everything. So growing up, one of the sports that I played baseball. I played years of basketball. I played several years of tennis. I played roller hockey. And then I think the sport that I played more than any though, was soccer. My dad was a professional soccer player in Colombia. That's how he even came to America, was on a scholarship where he met my mom in at HBU, Houston Baptist University. So soccer was the sport that I played for about 14 years growing up. And I'm sad to say I was never very good, but it taught me a lot about determination and discipline and you know, hard work paying off.
I highly doubt that if you played soccer for 14 years, you weren't any good. I feel like you're selling yourself short on that one.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'd love to say it was 14 years straight, but it was like over the course of 14 years, I played it off and on, but because I wasn't very good, I tried as many other sports. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't bad. I wasn't bad. I just wasn't like the star player, which to me, I'm super competitive. So if I wasn't the best, then I was like, what am I even doing here?
So what did you like about soccer so much?
I loved the movements. I loved looking back now, I can say that one of the biggest things I loved about it was how just the athleticism from soccer translates so well just to everyday life. I mean, the cardio that you get, just the overall core strength and its speed and agility that you have. Now working at a ninja gym for almost 7 years, we have, I think, soccer players and gymnasts, as well as swimmers, are like the three best athletes that come into, not counting rock climbers as well, those are like the four best athletes that come in and do ninja for the first time, just because they're so well-rounded. And I'm amazed at the level of grip strength that soccer players have, and I don't know how they get it. I guess because running, you're just like constantly like squeezing, constantly like tense, and I don't know, but soccer players make for great ninjas as well.
So it's interesting that soccer is such a team sport and you have to work together with everyone around you, and in ninja is so individual. What drew you to go to an individual sport from a team sport?
I actually tell people about that all the time, like, because of growing up and trying so many sports, I learned all about team dynamics, and you know that you're only as strong as your weakest member, and you know, even your star players, like, they can't carry the weight of the entire team all by themselves. And so for me, I enjoyed that, but at the same time, there was a part of me that just said, okay, I want to see what I'm capable of. Like, what can I, like, how far can I go, like, relying on just the training and just the preparation that I put into it? And so when I found out about like Ninja, I was like, okay, well, here's the perfect opportunity for me to showcase exactly what I'm capable of. And it's not to downplay anyone else, but I don't want to have to rely on or depend on anyone else, because I want to see what I'm capable of. I want to push myself to the limits and see what I can do. And it's been awesome to see, just with the show and with, I think honestly, my performance or my background in performance and singing and dancing, being able to stay calm, cool, and collected under the lights and the cameras. I think that plays a huge part as well in what I'm able to do on American Ninja Warrior.
How old were you when you made the switch to Ninja Warrior training?
Man, I was 19 years old when I found out that there was the local Ninja Gym, Iron Sports. So yeah, 19 years old when I found it, and then trained for about 2 years before beginning to audition.
Okay, that's actually a pretty short time frame, especially for someone who, you know, just went straight to the top pretty much after that. Well,
because while I was playing sports in high school, my dad got a Bowflex home gym that he had at the house. And I remember like seeing the commercials and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to get a Bowflex body. I'm going to train on that thing every day. And being homeschooled, I was able to literally add that as my like PE every day. So for like 6 years, like before high school and then a couple years out of high school, like every day I was like training on this Bowflex. I always wanted to be physically capable of doing anything that I thought of or that I challenged myself or that I saw that I wanted to do. So going into Ninja, I was like, oh my gosh, I can already do like tons and tons of pull-ups and push-ups and like climb on things. So it worked out really, really well. And I felt like I was already prepared to some degree when I found out about Ninja Warrior training.
What inspired you to take such an interest in training just before Ninja, like you were saying, the Bowflex at home? Was it wanting to be stronger? Was it just the challenge of it? What appealed to you about, you know, getting in there and doing that?
So many factors that went into to just me wanting to be strong in high school. I'll never forget when I was like in middle school, I think I was like eighth grade. I was like 12 or 13 years old. And I found out that I was obese for my age. If you can believe that, I weighed about 155 pounds at 12 years old, which is like 10 pounds less than what I weigh right now. And I remember waking up and looking in the mirror and being like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Like, how did this happen? I was so athletic. That's when my dad originally got the Bowflex, was in part to help me get strong. So I did that. And then all through high school, got into like theater and dancing and performing arts. And so the type of dance that we did involved like kind of Dancing with the Stars type stuff. You'd throw the girls up, you'd do like backflips, you'd catch them, you'd do spin and twists and things like that. So part of the reason why I trained as hard as I did was I wanted to be capable of you know, helping showcase and carry the weight of being on the dance team at my show choir. And that and sports, getting the parkour and free running, I was like, okay, I want to be physically capable of doing anything, trying any new sport, trying any new thing. And so that's kind of where the drive behind it came.
You know, that was one of the biggest reasons why I was so into athletics and fitness when I was going into high school, was because one, I didn't like the way I looked and I wanted to do what I could to change it. But two, I wanted to be capable of helping my team and capable of, you know, performing to the very best of my abilities. So that's a lot of how I got as strong as I did through my high school years.
So obviously a lot of things from your childhood and your youth played into you becoming the athlete that we're used to seeing on Ninja Warrior today. And now you're inspiring the next generation of Ninja Warrior kids, even just through the show, even kids you don't even know, just who see you. Do you realize that you're mentoring kids that you've never even met?
Yeah, yes, I do. And it's not something that I take lightly. You know, before I even had the opportunity to begin competing on the show, I had, like I said, several years to think about and to dream about what it would be like to compete on American Ninja Warrior. Because like I said, I started training for it when I was 19 years old, and then didn't start trying to send in a video until I was like 20, and I was too young, and then 21, and like didn't get accepted the very first time I tried out. And so during that whole time frame, I remember thinking and like praying, and I was like, well, if I get the opportunity, or if and when I get on the show, what do I want to use my platform for? What do I want to be known by? What do I want my message and the people that watch it, what do I want them to take away from it? And so looking back, when I was a kid, I remember any time that there was like a quote unquote like special guest or celebrity guest speaker at like a church function or a sporting event or something like that. And the speaker, if for no other reason than the fact that they were on TV, the words that they said would impact me greater than the things that my coaches, the things that my teachers, or the things that even my parents would say, because so-and-so with their celebrity status said it. And I wanted to be like them, regardless of what their personal life looked like or how good of a person they actually were. I just wanted to be like them because of the status that they held. So as soon as I started to actually compete on American Ninja Warrior, I thought to myself, Daniel, you are going to have the same kind of influence and the same kind of impact on young people, especially, that people had on you, Daniel. So what do you want them to take away? What do you want them to see in you when you compete? And so I wanted them to know that, you know, hard work pays off, and that no matter how many times you fall or fail, when you're chasing a dream, you get back up, and you get back up as quickly as you can, and you encourage and motivate as many people along the way as you possibly are capable of.
Can you remember any moments from early in your ninja career of when you had those first encounters with kids who saw you as a celebrity?
Yes, I can. And it threw me for a loop. It took me by surprise, which is funny because it had been what I dreamed about for years. But when it actually started happening, and I would have like kids at like my local grocery store or the mall run up to me and be like, "Oh my gosh, you're Daniel Gill from American Ninja Warrior. I watch you on TV. You're amazing." And me just be like my normal self. And every single time, even from the very first time that happened, there was like a click, like a reminder in the back of my mind that said, "Daniel, don't forget that you might be tired. You might be frustrated. Like life, like you might be living just a regular day in your life, Daniel, but to them right now, this will be a moment that they'll never forget, the time that I met Daniel Gill from American Ninja Warrior." And so every single time since the very first time that happened, I try to be so intentional with every encounter with a fan that I have, because honestly, like we're all fans. Like we all have people we look up to. We all have people that we want to be like. And so to me, it's such an honor to have so many young people. So when that first started happening in like the grocery stores, I was like, I was shocked and surprised, but I was equally as excited as the kid who was, you know, meeting me for the first time. I was excited because it was my first time being recognized as like a TV personality or an athlete.
Now, are you coaching students as well?
I am. Yeah. So as much as I travel with the show and travel for like speaking engagements and competitions, when I am at home, I still currently direct a kids program back at Iron Sports in Houston. So anytime I'm back at home, I'm there Tuesdays through Fridays coaching kids classes for about 4 hours each day, two back-to-back classes. So there's about 100 kids that I see on a regular basis when I'm back home. And I mean, a lot of these kids I've seen or I've been coaching for the last like 6 years. So I remember teaching them when they were in like middle school, seventh, eighth grade, and now they're graduated from high school and they're all bigger, they're all taller than I am. And they're still like, "Coach Daniel, like we remember when you didn't even compete on the show and you were just like some random really strong coach we had, but now you've trained us and we're the athletes that we are. We're part of the people that we are is because of you and your coaching in our lives." And so that's just such an honor for me and just such a privilege to not only get to travel and, you know, impact kids on a one-time basis, but to have a family back at home, a community back at home that I get to see them on a regular basis and be a part of their growth in, you know, the world of Ninja Warrior athletics.
What's it like to watch a kid, you know, that you've been coaching go from a small fry that you coached before you were on the show to growing up with them? What is that like?
It makes me feel old, Nikki. And I'm supposed to be really young still. And I am. I mean, I'm only 26, but it's funny. I don't realize how quickly the years go by until I ask, you know, little Johnny, like, "Hey, you're still like what, 12, 13, right?" And they're like, "No, I'm like 15 years old, Coach Daniel." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, where has all the time gone by? Like, I noticed you got bigger, but you're huge now and you're so strong now." And it's really cool for me to get to not only, like I said, have people that I impact on a one-time basis, but a family that I see regularly.
What do you think kids in general represent to the American Ninja Warrior community, and that's in kind of two folds: what they represent to the fandom, their part in the Ninja Warrior fan community, and their part in the future of this sport.
Kind of a template of what is to come. I mean, people, like kids right now who are watching the show and training, thinking, I can't wait until I get the opportunity to do that. Like, just seeing like Kid and some of these other young guys come up, like, we're going to have ninjas that are going to, like, they're going to come onto the course. Nobody's going to know who they are, and they're just going to blow everybody away with their athleticism and their abilities. Now, on the other hand, I think for the sport and the athletes themselves, they're going to set a new bar of what it looks like and what ninjas are going to be capable of. Because a lot of ninjas, you know, we do this as like a part-time job. We still have like, you know, full-time jobs and careers and families. But these young guys, who they've got nothing better to do than just spend hours and hours each day training for the show, like, they're going to come onto the scene and they're going to force the show to change just the level of athleticism that is currently required on the show. They're going to make the courses look so easy, but I think we're going to see a change in the course structure over the next couple of years and how the rules are, or the game is played.
21-foot mega wall?
Basically. Honestly, I think they're the backbone of the show. I think they're the reason why the show continues. I mean, for me personally, I know they're a huge reason why I even do what I do. Because, I mean, honestly, Nikki, we live in a world where there's a lot of bad things happening. You turn the news on, that's what you're going to see. And so I want to be a positive example. I want to be something that kids can look to and say, okay, there's someone I can strive to be like. And I know that there are so many other ninjas that have the same goal and the same, that they're doing ninja for the reasons that I am. And so I think the fandom is so necessary in order for me and any of the ninjas to keep doing what we're doing, and in order for the show to keep doing what it's doing and to keep running strong. And it's all because the fans are so faithful to watch. They're so faithful to you know, join gyms and faithful to, you know, train and compete and become the next competitors that are going to make up, you know, the contestants of the future, you know, seasons of American Ninja Warrior.
You decided to reach out to kids beyond just being a celebrity on the show by actually writing a children's book recently. Is that correct?
That is correct. When I began competing on Ninja Warrior, and, you know, checkmark that off of my list of like dreams of things that I always wanted to do, I began to think to myself, and I was like, okay, I gotta, like, wait, I just accomplished a dream of mine, and I did it. So here I am now as an American Ninja athlete. Like, what other dreams are there in my heart that I may have, you know, thought that I wasn't capable of doing, or thought that, you know, maybe I'll do it someday in the future, but okay, I just accomplished the dream of Ninja Warrior. What else can I do now? What else can I do and use my influence to impact others? And so I thought about, I've worked with kids most of my life. I love kids. I want a huge family someday. But a friend of mine was like, hey, Daniel, my kids love you. I'm reading kids' books to them on a nightly basis, but they want me to talk about like ninja stuff. Like, have you ever considered writing like a kids Ninja Warrior book to help fill the gap? Because there's nothing like that right now on the market. And as soon as he said it, it was like he gave me, like, he spoke what was on my heart that I didn't even know was there. As soon as he said it, I was like, that is something I didn't even know I wanted to do. But now that you're saying it, I absolutely have to do that. And so it took about a year of writing and then looking for an illustrator, which eventually my wife became, you know, the illustrator who wrote the pages of every single book, every single page in that book. And it now is just another dream of something that I've been capable of doing. And I'm already working on book number two.
Oh, really? Is it a sequel?
I am. Yeah, yes, it is. So the first book is about just a day in the life of the little ninja. So I took a lot of stories from my past, you know, my personality, things that I did, my passions. And so that was kind of what book one is about. And then, and I also threw in like a bunch of really cool, like ninja Easter eggs that only like super fans are going to get. But like book two is going to have a different theme, kind of more of like the Ninja Warrior training day. So what it's like in the day of a ninja training facility.
So do you think this book is a representation of who you were as a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was an adventurous little troublemaker kid. I didn't put too much of an emphasis on the troublemaker part, but I put an emphasis on the adventure and on the ninja, just the love for obstacles and climbing on things. And so, yes, a lot of it is my life, like the things that I love, the passions that I had. I put that into the book, as well as, like I said, all those fun little Easter eggs that super fans will appreciate, and they'll love that too.
What is the title of the book? I don't think we've said it yet.
Oh yeah, it's titled The Little Ninja, Go Ninja Go.
Why was it important to you to take the message of what Ninja Warrior is as a challenge, as a sport, as community, and put that message into a format that's understandable to young children through a book?
I've been writing for a long time. I love journaling, and I would love, like, I plan on reading my kids children's books, you know, to help them go to sleep. So why not use just the extra time that I have and the extra creative juices that I've got flowing when I'm not training? Like, why not use any other means or whatever other means I can find to, you know, just promote the common good? And books are a huge way that kids, you know, they develop and they grow. And I think that this book is a way that they can learn from an early age that, you know, life is full of obstacles. It's full of challenges. It's full of ups and downs, but we need to learn very quickly, very early in life, to get back up and to never give up and to never quit.
And I think it's kind of hilarious that you talk about using your extra time when we all know how busy you are between Ninja Warrior and all of the traveling around that you do to get to kids in different parts of the country to attend their camps like you're doing right now. And that's why this podcast is taking place kind of guerrilla style. So I don't believe you actually have a ton of extra time.
That's true. I definitely have to be very intentional and like plan my schedules. But it's like at the end of the day, I mean, our lives, like we've got a shelf life, like everything has a shelf life. And I feel like I'm in the best position I could possibly be in right now in this season of my life as an American Ninja Warrior athlete. I'm in the best season to do these things, to promote different things and to bring awareness to as many different things as I can. In this case, like promote a book or write a book, because right now I'm doing well, and it might not always be that way, but while I am, you know, a well-known ninja athlete, I want to provide as much beneficial just things, articles, items, books, things like that to the community that I can.
You're also doing quite well on American Ninja Warrior this year, just to bring it back to this season. So I know you can't tell us anything about stage 3 just yet. Can you describe what fans can expect in one or two words from stage 3?
Let me see. It's going to be epic. I mean, the season already up until this point has been amazing. So I'll just say it's going to be epic.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today, Danielle. I really appreciate it. I know you're on the road and you've got a long drive ahead of you, so we'll let you get back to that.
All right. Thank you, Nikki. Appreciate it.
Next week is our finale episode. I'll be closing out this podcast season by talking with a very, very special ninja. That's all I'm going to say about it.
And history has been made! Shut the front door. She's down to her final shot here. Can you believe it?